I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go to Isaiah chapter 3. In Isaiah chapter 3, we see the downfall of a great nation called Israel. As I look at this passage this morning, I'm going to begin in chapter 3, verse 4 down through verse 12. I believe there is a similarity between a parallel between Israel and the United States. First of all, I want you to know that the two greatest nations I believe in the world has ever been has been Israel and the United States. I watched Israel in Scripture fall in its decadence to slavery, annihilation, you name it. And I think if we're not careful, we're going to see that for the United States of America. I want you to notice here some principles that I find here, and there are some wonderful hope awakening principles. There are five thoughts in these verses that I want to deal with this morning. And you would think that you are looking at the United States here. The first one is this. The downfall of Israel was a result of rulers who were incompetent. Look with me, if you will, in verse 5. As we look here, and I will give, he's referring to Israel. One time might, one time God had blessed them, and they had tremendously power, but that power was disintegrating. And verse 4 says, I will give children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. Rulers who are incompetent. When I think of children are incompetent in their ability. I love these little children that are running around here today. But I tell you what, when it comes to leadership, they're incompetent. they're wonderful, but they don't know what they're doing. I'm here to tell you the problem is we have leaders in America today who have no slightest idea what they're doing. And the reason is there's no recognition of the God who made this country so many years ago, who founded it upon Bible principles and certainly saw it grow and become so great down through the years. Incompetent in their ability. Notice not only incompetent in their ability, but incompetent in their authority. Look there at the second part of verse 4. He not only says, I'll give children to be their princes. That word princes means leadership. And babes to rule over them. Whereas children incompetent in their ability, babes incompetent in their authority. It is interesting that we have leaders today in our government today who are so incompetent. They have no idea really what our Constitution is all about, what our forefathers established so many years ago. And result of that, we see the very first thing, incompetent rulers. And we realize at that particular time, this was dealing with the southern kingdom of Israel, that they were incompetent. The northern kingdom was already disintegrating, but they were now on its way. Notice secondly, we see here in verse 4, not only do we see rulers who are incompetent, they're simply like children, they're simply like babes, have no idea of how to lead our country. I'm amazed at some of the decisions that are being made today. Incredible to me that we would do what we're doing. But notice removal of restraints. Removal of restraints. You find that in verse 5. And there are three thoughts in verse 5 here dealing with the removal of restraints. Notice, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another. The word oppress is a strong word. It means literally to attack one another, to result. Aren't you glad you don't live in Chicago today? Aren't you glad you don't? They're expecting many people to be killed this weekend. And I want you to notice here, we got a country today whose leaders think it's okay to defund our police department. I don't know about you, but I pray for our police every day. I named certain ones. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are not any, there are some bad police officers. But I want you to know there's a whole bunch of bad politicians. And there's a bunch of bad preachers, pastors, too. We all get included in that thing. And I want you to notice today that regardless, never thought I'd see the day we decide it was okay to defund the police. And then we scratch our heads, some of you in bald heads, scratching scarves. Excuse me, Ron, I didn't mean to insult you, but reality is reality. But think with me, defunding. Come on, I'm trying to preach. Will you quit that? Over here scratching his bald head. Anyway, thinking today, now I'm losing track and I'm blaming you too. All right. Defunding the police, you know, to think about the when we have so many killings and so many crimes in our country, and we say it's the gun control was not strong enough. I got news for you. It isn't the gun that kills. It's the person who pulls the trigger behind the gun. And we have failed to realize that. And we want to defund our police. So first of all, the very first thing, in removal restraint, get rid of our police. Defund it. What a tragedy. Then notice here, if you will, the second part in verse 5. Because he not only deals with the people here being depressed by one another, in other words, attacking one another. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the agent. The child should behave himself proudly against the agent. The respect of the agent here refers to those who helped to establish Israel as a great nation. Let me say today that's happening in America. We're tearing down monuments of many of our great people of the past. No respect for them whatsoever. And those are the people who made it possible for those who want to tear down those monuments to live here in this great land. I was thinking, the younger generation, if you happen to be part of that younger generation, I pray for you. I pray that you understand. The younger generation is trying to get the older generation to adopt to the new ways of the present, while the old generation is trying to get the young generation to appreciate the past and its leaders. That's our job. The agent referring to those great men, the Lincolns and Abraham Lincoln and other great, Christopher Columbus, but they're going around wanting to tear down these monuments. I think we must not only call our country the United States of America, but the United States of Amnesia. We have forgotten the founding country upon great people. Now, they weren't perfect, but there were those that God had placed at that time to cause our front country to go forward today, and we realize that. Notice, not only we find defunding the police, just let everybody kill one another. We don't care. It's the gun's fault. And then the child shall behave himself proudly against the younger generation, saying to the older generation, let's forget the past. Let's tear it down. Let's remove our history of the past. America has a great history. And we do not want to lose that in any way whatsoever. And then he says there, thirdly, in that same verse there, if you'll look there with me, in verse 5, and the base against the honorable. Would you note that? The base, those who are bad. I don't know about you, but I thank God for our military. Those, to me, are the honorable. Those are the one who have sacrificed that our country will be free. And if you happen to serve in any time in the United States military, would you stand at this moment, please? We want to recognize you even on this day. Just stand up for a moment. And those who may be, let's give them a big hand. I thank the Lord for you. And we honor you. We honor you today for your service. Thank you so much. Marine. And Steve, what were you? Army, Marine, and Army over here. All right? Okay. Now, all right. Now, I'm not going to make any comments about the Marines and the Army and the Navy, you know. You may be seated, Steve. I was think I told this before that when I lived in Charleston, pastor there, we had a lot of Marines and we had a lot of Navy in our church, and we honored them all the time. But sometimes they wouldn't honor one another. The Navy would say to the Marine, you know your apartment of the Navy. And the Marine would say, I know it, the men's department. And all kinds of things would be said. But you know, it was just in fun because there was a great respect for our military, the honorable, and for our flag. For our flag. For our flag. Many who have given their lives, they've shed their blood so we could meet here today and for the critics to be able to meet today someplace and be able to criticize. They're free to do it today because the ground has been soaked with the blood of those who have given their lives. And so we need to honor our military, our National Guard, our police officers, because they're the ones that help make this country great today. I rejoice in it. So first, there are rulers here who are incompetent in verse 4. There's a removal of restraints in verse 5. And I see thirdly in verse 6 and 7, the refusal of personal responsibility. Look there, if you will, in verse 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. Now get, there's two things in that word. He says in this, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing. In other words, I don't want to work. I'll let you take care of my needs. You have what I need today. It's amazing today. Instead of a workfare system, we have a welfare system that God is this. You know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Excuse me, folks. Now, I am for all those who cannot do injuries and things, cannot work. But I want you to know there's jobs for everybody today. Right now, most of the businesses, they are crying for people to come, and they're paying them extra bonuses if they'll just come and work. But they say, oh, I don't want to let the ruin of my life be under the government's control. Let them take care of me. I want you to know something. That it will always dishonor a great country today. Because God, and we'll forget, I think I might have mentioned this. You know, I was raised poor. Me and my two brothers, and we were poor. We were just... didn't have anything. And I never forget when I came home from as an 11-year-old kid cutting lawn just to make a nunny to help put food on the table. And I said, Mama, they said we were poor. Is that right? Mama said, son, we are, but you'll get over it. Get back to cutting the grass. We need the money. I thought that was good. You know what? America has been good to us poor people. Because we've been able to pull out of it by determination. And that, I don't know very few countries that you can do that in. And I rejoice and thank the Lord for that. And so we not only see the refusal to work, but the rejection of wrong behavior. He said, let this ruin be upon us. The government is saying, and I hope you understand when I say this, I am for everyone who can come into the United States of America legally. Legally. But it is wrong for our president. It is wrong for the Pelosi's, for the Chuck Schumer's, and all these leaders today to say, y'all come over here and we'll take care of you. What they want is their votes so they continue their crimes and so forth. I'm not trying to make this political. This is biblical. This is truth in Scripture. This is truth in Scripture. Then also verse 7, we see not only here in this verse 6 and 7, the refusal to work, you got the clothing, you got the food, you take care of us. And rejection of we got ourselves into this mess. And we'll forget Mama would say to us, if you got yourself in a mess, boys, you get yourself out of it. Now, weren't raised in a Christian home. We didn't know any better. But I do know this. God loves America. And God wants to see it change. And then notice thirdly, look there in verse 7 here. And in the day shall he swear, saying, I will be a healer, for my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler over the people. We want to rely. The word ruler here refers more than just a ruler of a country. Your home. I don't want this responsibility to take care of my home. That is not biblical. You take care of your home. You take care of your home. Thirdly, or fourthly, notice not only do we see rulers who are incompetent, removal of restraints, refusal of personal responsibility, let everybody else take care of me. But number four, and I think this is the one I want to spend a few more moments than the others on, rebellion against God. Rebellion against God. I want to give you six decisions that our country has made since 1962 that is total rebellion against God. But let's read the text, first of all, as you look at it, in verse 8 through verse 11. 8, for Jerusalem is ruined. You could put America right there. And Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings, what, are against God. I'm tired of turning on my TV station and politicians who should know better using my God's name in vain and all other kind of language that my and your children should not have to hear. They should be above that. Their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to evoke the eyes of his glory. Thou show their countenance. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare that their sin is as Sodom. They hide it not. It's amazing how much now is out in the open that used to be hidden, that now is just freely there. Woe to the soul, for they have rewarded evil in themselves. America is rewarding evil unto itself. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doing. In other words, God will honor the righteous. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill unto him, for the rewards of his hands shall be given. Now let's think about it. In the last 53, from 1962 to 2015, there have been six major decisions that are against God. Let me give them to you quickly this morning. Number one. The decision to remove prayer from the public schools, 1962. Do you realize why years ago public schools were started in the United States? You know why it was? So people would learn how to read and write and be able to read their Bible and have respect. And there was never a class that was started that wasn't started without prayer. Even as a child, I can remember as a rebellious young person sitting in the classroom listening to the prayer over the speaker that was in our high school, junior high and high school. I remember it well as we recognize the decision to remove prayer was the beginning. Decision number two, that was 1962. The second decision, to ban Bible reading in our public schools, 1962. And we heard of horror cases where young people who would bring their Bibles to school would have it taken away, and then they were suspended. I can read case after case where young people who brought their Bibles to school were suspended for a day or two, like it was a crime. God help us. And yet it's okay to bring your pornography and other things to school that are against everything that stands for righteousness. So the first decision was 1962. The second decision was 1963. The third decision was in 1973. Decision to legalize abortion. And let me say to you, it wasn't abortion, it's murder. Since 1973, 63 million babies in the United States have been killed. That's called the American Holocaust. We blame Germany for killing 6 million Jews, but in our country we have killed 63 million babies. May God have mercy on our country today. The American Holocaust. I remember about a year ago when I turned on the news and found that the governor of Virginia gave his opinion on abortions. He says, I think it's okay for now to let the baby be born, lay it on the table, and the doctor and the mother will decide whether or not that baby shall live. That's called sin. That's called anti-Bible. That is wrong. As you all know, if my handicapped daughter who lives in Charleston now, she's 52 years of age, when she was born with cerebral palsy, with other handicaps in her life, never walked a day in her life, and affected mentally, they would want to kill her when she was born because, after all, she's going to be a problem. My little girl is not a problem. To me, she'll always be a little girl. She's not a problem. She's one of God's creatures, God's creation. And I thank God for her. God allowed her to be born that way. That's his decision. And I'm thankful for my little girl today. Always will pray for her daily. Say, Lord, thank you for those who take care of her. We couldn't do it at our age. But we go see her now and then, and she gives us a big hug, as long as she gets a milkshake. French fries, of which her mother does not want her to have. But boy, can she eat them up. She even will share one or two with me. I remember she'll take one and I say, Chrissy, give me a French fry. She'd take it right up to my lips, pull it back and eat it. She's as selfish as those in the United States Congress. We all have sin natures, don't we? Hers just comes out in unusual ways. I have to laugh a little bit. Hope you understand. I look at little Miriam here, the children are here. I thank God. God gave you good minds and good bodies. Be thankful for them. Rejoice. But today, Chrissy was no value. Just get rid of her. Wow. We're a sick society today. The fourth decision took place in 1980. Decision to ban the posting of the Ten Commandments. After all, those Ten Commandments could emotionally and mentally affect our young people in such a wrong way, right? Wrong! Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And on goes the list. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And on it goes. Oh, we got to remove those. Because after a while, the children will begin to practice those commandments. I want to say this as kindly as I can, but I would suggest you do not allow your children to be in a public school today of any kind. They are teaching them principles that are totally against everything that God stands for. Fifth decision was a decision to, legalize. Now, the decision to legalize homosexuality was in this June 26th, the year 2003, to legalize homosexuality. The Bible calls it sodomy. They're not gay. They're sodomites. It's wrong. We need to pray for them. I've had a privilege of witnessing to some in my time. I want to see them get saved, but I want to tell you something. They get saved, there's a change in their lifestyle, in everybody's lifestyle. And let me say to you, the Bible says not Eddie and Freddie. It says Adam and Eve, and not Eddie and Freddie. Sally and Susan. Get your Bible, folks. There are only two sexes. Male and female. There are not three, there are not four, and they're not more than what they're trying to say. I feel sorry for these people who need Christ. They need Him, but He will change them. I want to say this, there's no such thing as a practicing Christian homosexual. Mark that down. They're not. Can't be. I understand they have the battles. They fight because the demons had gotten a hold of their lifestyle and changed it wrongly. But what they need is Jesus Christ and some good friends to help turn them the right direction. Number six is the decision to legalize same-sex marriages in 2015. Just make it legalized. Contrary to the Word of God. So we see, as I think about these four things, rulers who are incompetent, removal of restraints, refusal of personal responsibility, rebellion against God, and finally, and this is the one I want to just, I hope, that this is Bible, folks. You believe it? It's in the Word of God. And I'm tired of people saying the Bible's a myth. Well, they're mistaken. It's the Word of God. It's eternal. But would you look over here to verse 12? And he says, as for my children, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. What do you see here? A reversal in the home. Children are their oppressors. I oppressed my mother one time, just once. Do you see that? Once. My mama, I told her off, cussed her out, and left home. And at 2:00 in the morning, I crawled into the window as a 9-year-old boy. Mama was waiting for me with a belt. Excuse me, with a broom. I never, ever cussed her out again. I wasn't saved. Didn't know any. That was pretty stupid. Did you ever have your mouth washed out with Fels Naphtha soap? Somebody, you're old at Mary. God bless you. So why you turned out so well? Ron didn't. Look how bad he turned out. No, I'm just kidding. Mama raised us on Fels Naphtha soap. You do not say bad things. Even though she wasn't a Christian, and she drank, and she was married 3 times, she said, I'm going to raise my boys to fear me. In those days, Mama was my God. That's all I knew. But notice here, children are their oppressors. We have children today in homes suing parents and government supporting it. We have children turning their parents over to the social services because they spanked them. And I want you to know I've been into different places and I think that kid needs more spanking. That girl needs more spanking. That boy needs it. They all need it. I'll tell you something. We're in trouble today. A reversal in the home. And then he says, women ruling over them. Now, women, I'm for you. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. In the home, the husband is to be the ruler. And he is to set the pattern. You read Ephesians chapter 5. It tells you very plainly. Husbands, you are to love your wives. Wives, you are to submit, and that's God's rule. Let me say this to you all. Nowhere in the Bible does it command a woman to love a husband. But it does command the husband to love the wife and treat her right and take that leadership and direct that home in the right direction. That's God's. As I close this morning, I not only see these things here, but let me take a moment to give you not only the downfall of our nation, but a moment to give you the duty of God's people. First of all, you're going to be looking for a pastor. If you're visiting, I'm not the pastor of this church. Don't you dare say amen, any of you. God will give you one. But we need pastors today who will preach the whole counsel of God and say, thus saith God. Yes, people don't like to hear that abortion is wrong. People do not like to hear that homosexuality is wrong. People do not like to hear the laws of God's word, but they need to be preached. Also, we need to have parents who will teach your children those Ten Commandments and other principles of the Word of God to guide them and gear and get them going on the right place. I am tired in my ministry after 52 years, often visiting prisons, hospitals, where people were there because the things they did that were wrong. But as I close today, would you turn to one final verse? That is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Where we see the duty not only the pastors as they preach in the churches, the parents, because they will teach. And again, let me say this to you. Be careful putting your kids in a school that will tell your children, let's ban God. Let's ban him. Let's get him out of here. And but thirdly, to all of us as people, a great verse here. Let me read it and go back for just a moment and think about it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Notice he's not asking Washington to it. You see, it's not the White House where the answers are. It's not the body of Congress, but it's the believers. Look there as you look at that verse in closing. Notice, if my people, we must realize who we are. We're God's people. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not one of God's people. Now, he wants you to be saved. You're one of his creation, but you're not his child until you accept Christ as your Savior. There must be that realization who we are. We're God's people. And then there must be we must renounce our pride, shall humble themselves. We're living in a very proud country. We've accomplished so many things. We have so many things given to us, handed to us. The Bible says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Get off the pedestal that you have built for yourself and put Jesus Christ on that pedestal as the leader of your life. And he not only says to realize who you are and renounce your pride, humble yourselves, but return to the God of the Bible. Pray and seek my face. I am told that the average Christian only prays probably 2 or 3 minutes a day. We're never going to get our country straightened around with that kind of thought. When's the last time you've really gone to prayer to God? I mean, you really, God's got a hold of you and you got a hold of God. That's what we need. I pray daily for America. I pray daily for Israel. Because if America fails to support Israel, we'll be under the judgment of God. Genesis 12, read it. I pray today that we'll see that and seek my face, seek his face. Get a hold of God, and may God get a hold of you. He said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Repent. Repent. You have sins in your life this morning that you need to take to God. You get them to God as soon as you can, and you repent. I repent. We all repent. And by the way, if you don't pray for America, I think you need to repent of not praying for America. Then he says, we'll forgive them and heal their land. God may give us a reprieve. God may give it. But the reprieve will not be because of what Congress does and the White House does. But it does count on what the church house does. And we pray that God's people in the churches will realize, wake up. We're in trouble today. I was glad to hear recently that our president, who is a Roman Catholic, many of the priests are saying he should not receive communion because he believes it's okay to kill babies. I have to go along with that. I'm not a guy. I don't believe in all the things of Catholicism, but I think that's a good stand to see that. God help us. We're a country. Now, again, as I close, I remind everyone here in this book, I find nowhere prophecies on the United States of America. It will not exist during the Great Tribulation period. China will, an atheistic country. Russia will, an atheistic country. Europe will. Israel will. Other countries will, but I didn't find this great land. So I am praying God will give us a reprieve. How long? I don't know. But I think of my grandchildren, and also got a great grandchild coming on the way. I know I don't look old enough to have great grandchildren, do I? Thank you. God will forgive you for lying. But we need to pray for our children. These little ones, these young men here, will they face a world today that is anti-God? Father, as we close our service this morning and go to our time of refreshment for our meal, I pray today, Father, we'll realize the great responsibility we have.